I want you, if you will, to turn in your Bibles. And if you don't have one with you, you can go right into the pew in front of you. We want to look in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. Can everybody find that? Good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and come down to verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Tell all things, hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. That's verses 16 through 22. What do you think about maintaining your spiritual growth? What does it do for us? I don't pretend to be great man in a lot of things. And one of them, I definitely don't make myself a great person in it, is of a full moon. Ever see those that you just stand there and look at them and think how beautiful they are? I still try to walk 3 days a week. I used to do better than that, but I'm getting an old person. And so it is that on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I go walking. And sometimes it's about 6 o'clock in the morning, or sometimes it's before that in the morning. And I looked, well, the other day I was just standing there and I was in a spot where most of it is, the trees have got them all fixed up. But right here was pretty good picture. And it was just a beautiful sight to look at what they were doing. And I appreciate that so much. The New Testament teaches us that as Christians, our lives are to reflect the light of the Son of God in this dark world, just like the moon reflects the sunlight. Turn quickly over to Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16, and you will see that you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand and a grave, things like to all who are in the house, let your lights shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Stay with me, brethren. Sometimes I get a little hard for me, but I love to preach. I love to just stand in the pulpit sometimes, and I'm not begging for you to give me work, but when you and I first came to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we were in the full moon phase, our lives glowed with the life and the love of the church. Brethren, how much do you really love the church? Now think about it. Well, sure, Brother Boer, I like it. I think he's pretty good. I've heard better ones, and et cetera, et cetera. But what does it really mean to you? the real love of the Lord is in our lives, we hope. We were hungry to learn God's Word. We were excited about going to the church and being involved in the work of the church. And we were eager to share our faith with our family and friends. Just like a full moon, our lives radiated the light and the love of Jesus Christ. But sadly, and this is where these little things come in, we do good and we look around and we see good congregation, people talk and laugh and love one another. But many Christians start to lose. Now get me. They start out very carefully, but soon they are great in spiritual glow. We go around and start with our brother here and go all the way around and all the way around, come back here to me. And I could ask my good brother, I could say to him, listen, do you think I'm really a faithful Christian? Do you think I'm growing and developing in my life? You don't have to go into it in great details. But sadly, many Christians start to lose their spiritual glow after a few months or years. In all the years that I have preached in congregations and talked to people, and I would see people come forward and they would go to the door, or to the bed here, or not the bed, but the front of it, and they would talk to the preacher or one of the elders. You know, what's going on here and everything? Yes, I want to become a Christian. Fine. We bring the gospel to him. He obeyed. But now listen to this. This is something that really bothers me a lot. And I know, of course, sometimes there's a health problem, and I don't mean that. But I have baptized people that morning and never saw them in the night. It's not that they were sick. It's not that they were hopeless. It was not that they were helpless or nothing. But they just didn't. They just did it that one time. What's wrong? What are we doing? Have you lost your spiritual glow? Have you sometimes lost the spiritual light? In our scripture text, the apostle tells us how to maintain our spiritual glow. When you look at these seven verses, one thing that stands out in their brevity, it's just little tiny things that they grab and they're growing. What were they? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks to everything. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Tell all the things and hold fast to what is good. Abstain from evil. Well, that's simple to put in your Bible, isn't it? Isn't it easy to get that in your mind? Look here. One commentator said, it will, as though Paul was running out of space on his parchment and he shortened his statements to get them all in before they ran out of the room of it. But listen to me. The facts are that each of these brief statements carries such weight, tells us these verses weren't mere afterthoughts or postscripts at the end of this letter. As we look at these seven brief states, we've got some things to say. So get ready. Number one, verse 16. Rejoice always. Big deal. Rejoice always. What do I need a rejoice always for? Well, a lot of times we really aren't rejoicing. We become discouraged, we become mad, we become ornery, we just don't come as faithful as we did. And it's a lot of things we get in and out of. But look here, it's what we rejoice always. I don't always rejoice, do you? I do things where, you know, I'm getting a little, and I better calm down. We need to know that we must rejoice. You know, when Paul tells us to rejoice, he is telling us to be cheerful, to be of good cheer. Now, granted, there are times when it's easy to rejoice, aren't there? Why aren't they? You, as husbands and wives, did you ever get a little... You weren't talking to one another? Yeah. Maybe we got just a little too much. And we need to realize what we're doing is not right. And so it is. It's easy to rejoice in times of good health. Yes. It's easy to rejoice in times of prosperity. Oh, yeah. It's easy to rejoice in times when everything seems to be going our way. Oh, boy, we've got it going, haven't we? It's moving right down the track. You like that, don't you? Rejoice in good times. But Paul didn't say rejoice in good times, did he? Now, think about it. He said, now listen to me. He said, rejoice always. Rejoice always. I don't think I've always rejoiced. I want to do better than that. Joyce and I are pretty much together the last 10, 12 years, 15 maybe. And so we spend a lot of time together. And that's just fine. I think I have the greatest life in all this world to know that while Joyce has these health problems and I have my health problems, we sit on the couch and hold hands. Why? We care about one another. We love one another. Rejoice in times when your health is not good. Rejoice when you are not prosperous. Rejoice when nothing seems to be going your way. Rejoice of defeat and failure and sorrow. How do we do that? By focusing, now get this, by focusing on God. That's where we need to be. That's going to be helping us. Regardless of our circumstances, God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, God's kindness, God's promise, God's tenderness, and God's generosity never changes. If we only rejoice when times are good, then our spiritual glow will be dedicated by other things. That's first one, number one. Number two, pray without ceasing. Verse 17. First, let's clear up what pray without ceasing doesn't mean. Pray without ceasing doesn't mean that we must be in a constant posture of prayer. And when we are down on our knees, eyes closed, lips moving, hands clasped, facing the heavenward, neither does pray without ceasing, but to the length of our prayers. To pray without ceasing means to be in constant communion with our Heavenly Father. Now, that doesn't mean you just walk around talking up to God and you can't talk to anybody else. But to pray without ceasing means to be in a constant communion with our Heavenly Father. Isn't that good that you can stop once in a while, you're doing something, you stop, you talk to the Lord. I don't know, brethren. And I'm not trying to make any problems, troubles to you, my good brethren. But sometimes we're in things that we shouldn't be in. It's not that they're bad so much, but we can do something better in a better place. Unceasing prayer is more of an attitude than it is an activity. To pray without ceasing means to live with a constant awareness of God's presence in my life. Well, what do you think, brethren? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Here's the third one. Give thanks in everything. Did you hear that? Give thanks in, I-N. Give thanks in everything. Not for everything. In things, but not for everything. In most things, give thanks. No. In some things, give thanks. No. Give thanks when you feel like it? No. Paul says in everything, gives thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do you know your spiritual glow on the lack thereof? We will be best be seen by the way it is reported. When I was talking to a person one day, and I could tell he hadn't lost his spiritual glow, despite having a heart attack and congestive heart failure, three things had. This person looked at in everything. What do? Do you remember a couple of weeks ago when I preached on the subject of whining and complaining? You got a preacher like that, like me, whining and complaining, and why don't you people pick it up and this and that? If you want to maintain this, fill your lips with praise and thanksgiving and rejoicing. Number four, do not quench the Spirit. Brethren, what does it mean to quench the Spirit? Think about that for just a second or two. I know you've got brains, and wake up and listen. What does it mean to quench the Holy Spirit? Well, you do a lot of things. But see, how do you or I quench the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit passes in our lives? Things are great. Number five, do not despise prophecies. When we see the word prophecies, here we tend to think of the only in terms of predictions about the future. No. While that is certainly included in prophecies, the way Paul uses it in the verse refers to all biblical teaching. Does not despise biblical teaching. But here is all biblical teaching. One reason why many Christians lose their spiritual glow is that they don't remain teachable. Well, do you still have the desire to listen from the preacher. And will not accept from God's word and stubbornly clings to those opinions and all of these other things. What is it? Okay, sixth lesson. If we got it about, it's going to be just a few things. To test all things doesn't mean we are to resist everything, but rather it means to test the genuineness of all things. A coin collector has several tests he can conduct to determine if a coin is genuine silver or genuine gold. A jeweler has several tests he can put a diamond through to determine if it is genuine or fake. What about you? What about the Word of God here and all this? What's he saying? He's saying that I must test all things by the Word of God. Do you do that? Well, finally, you realize in the seventh one, abstain from the appearances of evil. One of the greatest dangers in the Christian life is to make concessions and compromises when it comes to sin. Let's say someone cooked you a nice, juicy steak. Okay, I like that. And a baked potato. And let's say right before you started eating, the person who fixed the steak for you informed you that he had put 2 drops of strychnine on your steak. Okay, that's all right, isn't it? Just 2 little drops, that's all. Would you go ahead and eat the steak? Or would you push the plate away from you and refuse to take it? Brethren, as Christians, we must treat every sin in our lives with the same way. Regardless of how harmless or attractive it may appear, we must abstain from every appearance of God. Well, have you ever had God's Word glowing like in your life? That of the things you see spiritually, I know, brethren, that I'm not the greatest preacher you've heard in 10 days. But I want you to know something. That I love you and I care for you and I do anything I could for you. And I appreciate what the elders have done for me and over the years. Brethren, what are we doing with the little things in life? Are these little, each one very small. And you think, oh, what can it be for me? If you will, you can come back in an hour. And there'll be no door locking, but you can sit and get the next one then. And we'll see what we can do. I don't know if we have any people who are not Christians who have never obeyed the gospel. But if there are those like that, How can we help you? What can we do for you? Can we bring the gospel into your mind, to your hope? Whatever. I want you to listen as we sing this song. And if you need to come forward in any way, won't you do it? While together we stand and while we sing.